Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The Jets' path through the 2026 season has been revealed with the NFL schedule release on Thursday night. Is it the path to a surprise turnaround season for Aaron Glenn and company? Is it the path to a top pick in the 2027 draft and a potential franchise quarterback? We're going to discuss it all here on Flight Plan. Thanks for joining us, Tim McMaster and Zach Rosenblatt and Paul Kilgallen. Please like the show wherever you're watching or listening. Give us a five-star review and subscribe, or tell your friends to subscribe on YouTube as well. Numbers are going up. It's great to see. You guys are both pretty – you both celebrate schedule release day. Is that fair to say? I know Zach does because he gets to plan his fall, but how about you, Paul? Do you consider it a minor holiday in the –
I think of it very much like a gender reveal party. We're still having a football season. We're still having a baby. But we just know a little bit more about it now. And I don't know. It's a little funny to me the way the NFL has latched on to the idea of pumping this into a thing. It's
they
cool.
They pump everything.
Exactly. And so it's cool, but we've known the opponents for a long time. It is interesting to see the switch up from, for instance, just to take the Jets, for example, I think a lot of people were thinking that the Jets were going to have a fairly easy schedule this year based on the opponents. And then you see the sequence and you're well, wait a minute. This is not what we thought we were going to get here. So it is a little bit interesting. There's some intrigue there, but it's funny the way the NFL is a machine, man. It's impressive.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. That's for sure. As far as the strength of schedule, just by percentage alone, which obviously a lot goes into this, and every year you think teams are something and there's something else, but it comes in at 12th hardest. But it feels, when you look at it week to week, much more difficult than that. We're going to get into – well, let me rattle off the games, first of all, for anybody that hasn't seen it. Then we'll get into some general thoughts and stuff. But week one at Tennessee, week two, home for the Packers. Week three at the Lions, week four at the Bears, week five back home for the Browns, week six to New England, week seven back home for the Dolphins, and then the Raiders in week eight. Then they're back on the road for the Chiefs, week nine, back home for the Bills in week 10. Then it's out to the West Coast for the Chargers, week 11. Then at the Dolphins, week 12, tough travel. Then they get a week off finally in week 13. Then they're home for the Broncos, back out to west to Arizona, back home for the Patriots, home for the Vikings, and then they finish up at Buffalo week 18. I guess we'll start with just the general thought. Then we're going to go into must wins and all sorts of different things. But Zach, when you first saw it, what was your general thought?
My first thought with schedule stuff is selfish. Usually I look at, there's a few things I look at. I look at road trip timing. So am I going to a cold city in the winter? I look at the last week of the season. Where are they ending? They're in Buffalo again. The Jets never are get at home games at the end. And I look where the bye week is, which is week 13, which is terrible. So, I know this isn't a personal thing, but personally, I don't like the sequencing of the schedule. But
cold weather trips to Miami and Arizona for you, though.
So yeah, that's good. That's good. And I get to go to LA. I'm not going to complain too much. Yeah. But my initial reaction in terms of the Jets was that I think they got screwed on the schedule. As you'll hear this a lot, but the NFL kind of showed what they think of the Jets, and they usually do, because they usually don't really give the Jets anything that helps them out. You can only complain about the schedule right now. Once you get to the season, you have to stop complaining about it, and nobody really, we're all going to say they got screwed. And then if they go out and, if the worst case scenario happens at the beginning of the year, we're going to be criticizing them for it. And you don't really, you're an NFL team, so you got to overcome all of that. But this doesn't, the schedule doesn't set them up for success. So they're going to, the NFL is telling you, we think you're going to be bad. We don't want you on our prime times. We want you at 1 p.m. We're not going to give you a break until week 13. We're going to give you two batches of three road trips in 4 weeks before the bye. So like the Jets, Aaron Glenn, like they have their work cut out for them. They have to go and prove everybody wrong. As I was texting with somebody earlier, it's not like the Jets need a more motivation to prove everybody wrong because they're constantly getting made fun of. Like I listened to two different national NFL podcasts recently that did like drafts of all the NFL head coaches, and wouldn't you know it, Aaron Glenn was 32nd in both drafts. So I would say, you know, schedule talk only is, you know, relevant right now, really. I mean, I would say that year, what was it, 24? I think it was 24 where they started. They had three games in 11 days, right, with Aaron Rodgers. They won two of those, actually. They started 2-1. That was like the high point of the Aaron Rodgers era, actually. Yeah, you know, ultimately, the thing we're going to get into the schedule prediction thing, and we'll wind up doing what everybody does with these things. You have them beating the teams they're supposed to. You have them like splitting division games with, you know, certain teams, and then you land in the same place. But I always try to caution, like, strength of schedule, all that stuff. We get into a bad habit of being like, oh, this is an easy stretch, this is a hard stretch. Like, we really have no idea ultimately. Like, and we'll get into that as we go week to week. But that's always my point I try to make here. Like, everything on paper looks better or worse than you think. And just like a team that you don't expect is going to be terrible this year, and a team you don't expect is going to be much better than you expect this year. So, end rant there.
Even if the teams are what we think they're going to be, like even if the Raiders are generally a team that's in the first year of a new quarterback, and even if the Chiefs still are good, like there's a possibility that the Jets drop one to the Raiders and steal one from the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Like it's not out of the realm of possibility. That's what the NFL is. And so my top line thoughts, like out of the gate, were, you know, Tim opened the show by saying, is this a path to a quarterback or is this a path to the playoffs? Like, it could be both. They have three first round picks next year. So we got to look at the Colts schedule. We got to look at the Cowboys schedule. We got to look at the Packers schedule. Unfortunately, I think the Packers are in kind of the same half of the NFL as the Jets in terms of it's a hard schedule. The Colts and Cowboys, I think, are in the top half in terms of easy schedule. But again, crazy things can happen in the NFL. The other thing I'll say is the late bye gets you nice and rested for a stretch playoff run. So, and I think like when I looked at the schedule, the first thing I thought was like Titans week one. It was almost it almost came all the way around to being surprising again because it was so predictable for so long that eventually I got myself to a point where I was like, this isn't going to happen because it's just so predictable. But that was familiar. I expected that to happen. I think, like, you know, when people buy a house and they're like, the bones are good. I looked at the schedule and I was like, the bones of this are kind of what I expected. The Jets always start off with like a real tough first five games. Yeah. They put themselves in a hole. They get this soft middle where they can make a run a little bit and get people start being like, all right, maybe we got something here. And then they usually get like sucker punched at the end of the year again. And so the structure of it is familiar, but not having a division game until week six is weird. That almost never happens. They usually play the Bills or the Patriots early. They usually play the Dolphins twice late. They usually play the Dolphins on the road in the winter. And so things were moved around a little bit, but the structure is pretty familiar. And I think you walk away from this, and you know, 2 weeks ago, if you went on any of like the analysis websites based on strength of schedule, based on win percentages from last year, the Jets were top five. People were thinking the Jets were going to have an easy schedule. And then you see the order and you're like, oh, wait a minute. this is actually, now people are saying this is the 12th hardest schedule. And so, but to Zach's point, we'll see. You never know until games start getting played. And so I'm curious to see how those other teams do. Like everybody's going to be hate watching the Colts, Packers, and Cowboys all year long rooting for those picks. So we'll see. And as far as the week one thing goes, I'm sure we'll get into this. Optically, it's a must win. My other partner Meigs said on camera last night that like it's a must win for Jets fans more than it is for the team. And it's also a must win for Saleh. Like that's who it's a must win for. I think the Jets probably could recover if they lost it, but optically, man, that would be a tough week. That would be a really tough week.
Well, that's one of our things is must win game. So do we want to start there? That was actually the game I had as must win, and not because of the Saleh stuff. Like that is what it is, but because of what comes after it is the reason I had it. Because if you don't start 1-0 and then the Packers come to town you go to the Lions, assuming the Lions will kind of right the ship a little bit after regression last year. And then you go to the Bears, who obviously turned things around and were a lot better last year. I think if you don't win that first one, 0-4 looks really likely. And then a team like this that's so young, it just feels like things can slip away. So that's why I have that as the game that they have to win. Not because bragging rights with Salah or any of that stuff, just because it could lead to a really bad start and end up with a, but maybe some people are hoping for that really high draft pick. So I don't know.
I mean, I've seen we're back at the Jets Twitter eating itself alive, because there's people who are posting stuff like that, and then everybody else getting mad at them for suggesting how could you root against the Jets and all that stuff. Like, it's very interesting. Like, I absolutely agree. It is, I struggle to say must win for a week one game, but like, winning that would like go such a long way towards like changing the vibe. Like, I even if they go and they lose the next three in a row, like I really do think that just like gives you a little bit of breathing room at the very least. What I would say is, if you remember last year, like, I think fans were relatively optimistic going into the season. I feel like maybe most didn't think they would win the Steelers game, and they played really, really well in that game. And you come out of that game, and I remember like just boldly declaring they were going to beat the Bills in week two, because I was like, I've seen enough. And the Bills look crappy in week one, and then they came out and looked absolutely awful, and then they started 0-7. So it can really like tumble downward. So like,
and remember the Raiders and Patriots week one last year?
Yeah. And they lost to the Raiders. Yeah, you just don't know. So and I could absolutely see the Packers having a bad week one, by the way. So like, Jets fans feeling good going into week two. Especially, you know, if Micah doesn't play at the beginning of the season. I've seen it highlighted that they went like 0-5 with him at the end of the season, without him at the end of the season. But I can't remember who they played. But my must win comes right after that 4-game stretch. I said the Browns in week five is the must win for me. So let's say worst case scenario happens, they lose that first game, they start 0-4. Going to be hard for Aaron Glenn to recover from that locally, but like, as a team, you're not recovering if you lose to the Browns in week five. And even if you, let's say you beat the Titans, you're 1-3. Like I said, maybe you built up a little goodwill from beating Robert Saleh and the Titans. If you turn around and lose to the Cleveland Browns at home, like all the wheels are going to start coming off there. So that's the one I lean towards. And, you know, I even a few weeks later, like, I think you kind of have to beat the Dolphins at home too, because that looks like the worst team in the NFL. And they struggle against the Dolphins. Like, if you're ever going to take advantage of the Dolphins being bad, this is the year to do it. And it's not in the House of Horrors at Hard Rock Stadium to start out either. So, like, those two games in particular look the most important to me, in addition to the Titans one. But, like, you can recover from a bad start. Even 0-4, like, I know that sounds crazy for me to say. Like, 0-4 is bad, especially for a coach on the hot seat and all the changes they made and all that stuff. But if you're at least competitive in those four games, come out and beat the Browns. As Paul said, it's like the classic rough stretch, easy stretch, rough stretch. Like, that's a nice little warm middle there, where they have the Dolphins, they have the Browns, you have the Patriots, who I think are going to have a weird year, and you have the Raiders. So like, those are all in theory winnable games, and you, not to say the Jets, you deserve the benefit of the doubt, but so that's where I'm at. I think the Browns is the must win game for me.
Yeah, it's a really good answer. And so is the Titans. Like, both really good cases for that, both early in the season. And so if you were to tweet in week one or week five that was a must win game, I think you'd get a lot of like, dude, it's week five, right? Like, it's a tough question to answer. I think more than anything, the Jets just need to keep their head above water this season, and they have to avoid getting in that really deep hole that they have to climb out of. I think everybody's really tired of, even when you do get to feel good, it's after 4 weeks of bad. So like, you're so deep in the hole that, you know, you can rip off a 4-game winning streak and you're still below 500. Right. And so you have to avoid putting yourself in that situation. I am not as afraid of the first four as a lot of people seem to be. I see all three of those NFC North teams as very flawed, potentially vulnerable teams. Like, you know, Packers without Parsons, Detroit did not look the same last year, losing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. They just didn't look the same. Because they didn't have Aaron Glenn. Yeah. and the Bears in the playoffs were really exciting to watch, but during the regular season, they won every game by like a last-second field goal.
And usually that turns a year later, unless you're really good. Yeah,
that sets you up for regression. Caleb Williams, I think, completed like around 60% of his passes, or maybe like, I just think that that's a structure that, hey, could they improve in year two of Ben Johnson? Definitely. But they also could regress to the mean. And so I see all three of those games as winnable. I'm going to give you a cheap answer to the must win game, and neither of you are going to like this, but like, I think you just need to find a way to go 3-3 in the division. Like, you just have to figure out how to get there. If that includes a Miami sweep, fine. If it doesn't, then you better figure out how to beat the Bills and New England. You cannot. The Jets have been below 500 in the division, and in some cases 1-5 or 0-6 in the division for like 15 years straight. And it's very coincidental with the playoff drought. Like, if you want to be a serious NFL outfit, you have to win division games. It's that simple. We've heard coaches talk about it. Nobody's been able to do it. Figure out a way to get to 3-3 in the division. And so for that, I guess I'll say that week 6 and week 7, like, you need to figure out how to get one of those. You need to be 1-1 in the division by the time you get to week 8, because you can't start 0-2 in the division and then be climbing out of that hole.
And at home against the Dolphins. It's very, that feels like if you don't win that game, you have much bigger problems anyway.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Yes.
Okay, so that's must win game. What about must watch game for you guys? What's the game that's gonna, I mean, and this is a bunch of Sunday 1 o'clock games, so there's no easy prime time game to point to here.
So for The Athletic, we do this like template every year for the schedule that we release, and one of them is what'd you say, like must watch? Yeah, that was like the category, and it's a really hard one. And the one I went with, like, there was a comment in about like how the guy laughed because I picked this one. I said the Raiders game, because these teams are pretty close talent wise, I would say. I think there's a chance Mendoza is playing by then, which is fun. Geno Smith against the Raiders, a little bit of fun. It's at home. It's a winnable game for the Jets. Like, if you want to, like, a fun game, like, it has to be a game that you think is going to be close or that the Jets are going to win, I feel like. Because, like, you know, in theory, it'll be fun to watch. Like, you know, it's always fun to watch the Chargers. You know, the Vikings game could be fun with Kyler in there, and who knows with the Chiefs. But the Raiders, like, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see Fernando Mendoza early on and how the Jets handle it against a rookie quarterback. Like, if Aaron Glenn is going to flex his play calling muscles at all, you would think it would be against a rookie. So that's kind of where I was in terms of, I mean, it's not the best answer because these are, you know, in terms of the draft order, the two worst teams in the NFL from last season. But that's kind of where my thought was.
I hate to keep trotting out the same game over and over again here, but the Titans game is a revenge game for like 70% of both rosters.
I know,
like,
it's crazy.
There's so much crossover between, yeah. I mean, the Jarvis Brownlee Instagram that story. Did you guys see that?
Yes, oh I did. You should. We should read it. It was it's pretty funny. I'll pull it up right now.
So Jarvis Brownlee, while you're pulling up, Jarvis Brownlee and Tavondre Sweat on the Jets defense are obviously, like, they have reason to be frothed up and ready to go here. I think they both got traded by Tennessee. They both are not thrilled about that, and they want revenge. And the Titans roster is half Jets and Giants. Like, it's that game. I think the storylines are going to be out of control. And I fear, as a Jets fan, that because it's the first game of the season, there's nothing new to talk about because we haven't seen these teams play yet. That's going to be a lot of LOL Jets stuff leading up to that. And it's going to be tough. And so I think both teams are going to come into that game angry, and there's probably going to be a lot of penalties. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a fight in that game.
So here's the Jarvis Brownlee thing.
This is going to be fantastic.
I know. Let me make sure I can actually read this out loud. Okay. You ever seen a gorilla on the green grass? Circle week one on your calendar. Bloodbath. Y'all going to feel every inch in my body. So,
yeah,
I would say there's a non-zero chance he's not even active on week one, but we'll see. I mean, maybe he'll be playing on special team. Like, as we talked about last week, I don't know that he's going to play a lot. I think people are calling this the Tony Adams revenge game, though. I don't think it's the Robert Saleh revenge. And Solomon Thomas.
For what it's worth, I have, and this goes to your point, Paul, about being good in the division, at Miami week 12, because at Miami is the house of horrors, right? Like, they go there and just terrible, terrible things happen.
Terrible.
So let's have a trip to Miami where things don't go just off the rails and they beat a team that they're probably better than.
However, I believe that the Geno Smith perfect passer game occurred in Miami. He's from Miami. And so that's a coming home. So maybe he's the guy that exercises the Hard Rock demons.
That'd be great.
Sounds good.
Terrible stadium, by the way. I hate going there.
Yeah. It's weird looking now. It's changed so much. They've done so many like random renovations and all.
I like being in Miami generally, but because it's usually good weather and there's some fun stuff you can do, but that stadium is just brutal and getting there sucks and everything. Yeah.
I went there. I think it was Darnold's rookie year. It might've been his second year. It all gets jumbled together for me at this point, but it was the game where I think Darnold threw four picks and he got yanked under the guise of a foot injury. And then he missed the next week. I still believe that was a soft benching because he really was not playing well, but he threw four picks and I was up in the upper deck. I just like bought a random seat. I was there with my buddy and there was this dude near me, like typical like Miami guy. And I like the city of Miami, not like a Dolphins fan, but like the city of Miami guy, like fedora, like whole nine yards. And he was wearing a shirt that said, "Fuck the Jets" on the back. And then on the front, it said, "Bitch, I'm a Dolphin." And he he harassed me. Just would not leave me alone, screaming in my face the entire game. And I was just like, I hate this place. I never want to come back here.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right, we've kind of referenced toughest stretches, but what is what is your toughest stretch?
I mean, there's the obvious one in the first three or four that we've already talked about. So I'll do the stretch right before the bye.
Yep.
You go week 9 at Kansas City, home game against the Bills, week 11 at Los Angeles, a long flight, and then week 12 at Miami. So you have 3 out of 4 road games and a home game against the Bills before your week 13 bye. So you're already going to be kind of reeling a little bit at that point. That's tough. Like, I think the stretch right before that is the one that'll probably make or break the season. Like we talked about where I mentioned the Raiders game, like that stretch of bad teams, like that's where you kind of find out if this is going to be an absolute disaster of a season or if the Jets can kind of, you know, tread above water at the very least. That stretch right before the bye is hard because you're also just like you're looking ahead to the bye when you're an NFL team, especially. I mean, I've never covered a team that had that late of a bye. So I think the latest the Jets have had since I've covered them was like week 9 or 10. So, that one I have my eye on because the Chiefs will be healthy by then, I would think, Patrick Mahomes wise. I mean, the Dolphins are not good, but the Bills are going to be playing for a lot. And the Chargers, I think, are going to be really good. So, and you're flying out to LA, which is never easy. So that's where I'm at.
I mean, I think on paper it's the correct answer. It's impossible to say anything else. I will say that the Chargers play Baltimore the week before on Monday night, and they play the Patriots right after on Sunday night. So it's a potential look ahead, like a potential spot where the Chargers are just like, that's a win in the middle. Let's worry about these other two games. And so you could catch the Chargers. And the Chargers are weird, too. Like Justin Herbert just disappears for games every once in a while. And so that's one. If you can get out of that stretch 1 and 3, 1 and 2, you feel really good. But in the effort of not saying the exact same thing as you, 16, 17, 18. I think the Minnesota's going to stink. I think that Kyler Murray potentially gets Kevin O'Connell fired. Like, I think that that's a disaster in Minnesota. So I it's not necessarily about Minnesota. It's about finishing the season with two divisional games. Yeah. And if the Jets can get themselves to a point where, and I won't get too crazy or too over my skis here, but it, like, let's say they can get eliminated from the playoffs in that three game stretch, that's a good place to be. And so, like, I'm okay with getting eliminated by the Bills week 18 or getting eliminated by the Patriots week 16. Like, but just get yourself to that point where you have these two really tough divisional opponents at the end of the year and it actually means something. Please, please.
For all of our sakes.
Yeah.
If it goes the other way, though, and they are terrible, then you get to those last three games and that's when the fan base is going to be split again, right? Where, like, wins are going to anger some fans because they're going to be in that top five in the draft and every win pushes you back. And I mean, as you said, Paul, it depends on those other teams too, but, like, you'd rather be in a position, like you said, where you're not getting eliminated till then. All the fans can be on board with, like, we want to just win games. We want to win games. So hopefully it's that. The most winnable stretch, I feel like, is right before the tough stretch, though, which makes it interesting. Yeah. When you do have Browns at Patriots, then Dolphins and Raiders home. I mean,
yeah,
they easily go 3-1 right there if you can survive that first stretch. So, all right, Zach, it's your chance to tell us what your favorite road trip is. And actually, I should say, Paul, are you planning to travel any games?
Well, Badlands is going to be at Nashville, right?
Yeah, we're going to go down to Nashville. So we're going to do our pregame show down there. I've actually never been to Nashville except for work.
No way.
So, like, I was there for work one time. I was inside for five days.
As you can tell, I'm very passionate about Nashville. So we'll be getting some drinks out there. Yeah.
Did you get married in Nashville?
I sure did.
Nice. Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about that city.
It's an amazing city. Yeah.
I think other than that, I mean, it's a pretty good road trip. So, like, it's really Detroit. Good. Detroit. I have family in Detroit, so I've been there a handful of times. That's like a good city.
It's underrated. Yeah,
it is. It's come a long way, especially with food wise.
It's come a long way. It's not like it wouldn't be like my favorite NFL city or anything, but no. I think it's come a long way. Yeah, there's good food.
LA is good.
They're home. Chicago's great. Chicago, and it won't be too cold yet. That's great.
Yeah, I know. So I'm biased toward Nashville. Got married there. One of my favorite cities in the world. I won't say that one. I did live in Arizona for a long time, have a lot of family and friends out there, love LA, but I Chicago is actually going to be my answer because, number one, it's just a great city, but, like, the two times I've covered games in Chicago, it was in, like, December and January, so freezing cold, you don't want to go outside. The other time was last year when I went with my wife in the middle of the summer, and we happened to go in, like, the hottest day that they've had in years. It was, like, 100 degrees with humidity. Like, to the point where if you walked a little bit, you sweat through your clothes. And so I'm excited to go during a time of the year where the weather is nice and I get to enjoy Chicago, which, great food city, great walking city. I feel like I haven't really been able to fully experience it yet. So that's kind of where I'm at. And then on a coverage level, I counted it today. I'm down to four stadiums I haven't been to. I'm a knockout Detroit this year. So excited for that. And then I think, you know, next year, I believe they go to Houston and I think Indianapolis, which are two more that I have on my list that I haven't covered a game at. So getting the close combine to all 32 stadiums. Well, I never actually go into the stadium when I'm at the combine. So yeah, I technically haven't been in the stadium. Yeah.
Will you ever, like, hit a baseball game in the early part?
Yeah, sometimes.
All right.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Yeah, who they got the early part that has baseball and not the Titans.
The Cubs could be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
the Cubs will be in playoffs. The Tigers could be playing when we're there. I'll have to check the schedules. Yeah, I've done that. I've been to, like, Cleveland Guardians games when the Jets were there. I feel like I've been to some other ones too. Yeah, that is a fun part when you have multiple sporting events going on in the same weekend. That's pretty sweet.
Back in, like, I want to say it was maybe 20. It was definitely when the Mets were in the playoffs. I had a bunch of friends who were Giants fans actually who hit a Cubs Mets playoff game and then a Giants Packers game, I want to say. Like, they, like, went out to the Midwest and hit both of those in a weekend, and that was a great trip.
Yeah, when I was covering baseball and traveling a lot for the playoffs, there'd be those. I remember we were our hotel one year, we were there for the baseball playoffs, and Monday Night Football was there. And so, like, the Monday Night bus was outside the hotel, and we're this is and in smaller cities, this doesn't really happen in New York because New York is so big and there's so much going on. But like smaller cities like Cleveland, and like if two things like that are happening at once, it literally takes over the city. Like that's all anyone's talking about. It's in the windows, the restaurants, like it's everywhere. Those are really cool. It might have actually been Cleveland. It might have been like a Browns Monday night game, and it was the Indians Cubs World Series, I think.
Ooh.
But yeah, it was nice. Good.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right. Should we go through the schedule?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm doing this on the fly, by the way. I didn't actually like break down. I did have a schedule prediction in my story, and I think it'll land there, but I haven't like gone through and decided what I want here yet. So
all right, we'll go. I'll go first. Then you go, Zach, then Paul, and we'll just go through them quick. Tennessee, I have a win. Got to start that way.
Sorry.
All right, I have a win at Tennessee too. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, let's do good vibes. Week one win, and let's not have an 0-4 miserable start. We want the podcast to keep growing. So,
yeah, seriously, come on, let's get the vibes going. Packers, I have loss. Paul,
I have a loss as well. I think two of these three games are winnable, but I'm not sure which ones they are. So I'll give Packers a loss.
Yeah, I have loss. The Packers are, I think, the flimsiest of those NFC North teams that they're playing in that stretch there. But Jordan Love, Jets defense still building. Like, yeah, I say Packers win.
I have Lions loss.
Lions loss, yeah.
So last night I went Lions win on the Badlands show. I'm going to go Lions loss tonight.
Today. Can you do that? It's like filling out two NCAA brackets.
Well, I'm going to flip the Bears game, so that's why I'm doing it.
Okay, the final record will remain the same. Okay. All right, Bears, I have loss. I have the 0-3 for the that stretch.
Yes. Yeah, same with me. I have Bears loss.
I'm going to go Bears win. I just think that due for a regression. I honestly think they beat the Lions more than I beat the Bears. I think Ben Johnson's a good coach. So I think that they're going to figure it out there. But I think they come out of the first four 2-2. I'm not sure how they get there.
It is kind of an Aaron Glenn stretch there. He goes against Dan Campbell, and then he goes against Ben Johnson. The Ben Johnson one's more of a rivalry, whereas I feel like Dan Campbell's like, you know, your brother because they love each other so much.
Yeah.
But going back to Detroit, there'll be feelings for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Browns back home. I have them winning that one.
Yeah, I have win there as well.
Dub.
So all right, so you actually have them 3-2
at this point. Wow.
I feel like if they're 3-2 at that point, like people are going to be feeling good. Really?
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Even though it probably will still go downhill in some way, like. Like Aaron Glenn, the seat will feel a little cooler. Be settling in.
It would go a long way.
Then they go to New England. I am losing that one.
Yeah, loss for me as well.
We're at week six. Right? Loss.
Home for the Dolphins. I have a win.
Same.
Win.
We are very much
in sync.
I have them beating the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going chalk. I guess I have them winning against the Raiders too.
So I kind of hinted at this at the beginning of the show. I think they drop it to the Raiders. Like I was
50-50 on. Yeah,
there's some kind of weird Kavorka with the Raiders that like go back to like the Henry Ruggs game, the Heidi game. Like I don't even know if you guys know what the Heidi game is.
Oh, but yeah.
Like, there's something weird with the Raiders. We can't figure it out with them. You remember the Raiders were also the famous Saleh quote race to 20 or whatever. That one was in Las Vegas where he was like, we just need to get to 20 points or get to 10 points, whatever he said. He said something stupid.
Oh, right.
Chiefs on the road, week 9. I have a loss.
Yeah, a loss. Justin Fields rushing touchdown. Jets lose.
So I'm gonna flip again from last night, but I'll replace it to keep the record the same. I called this a win last night, just in the name of chaos. And I think I said something about revenge for the Zach Wilson game where Michael Carter got the phantom holding penalty at the end.
Brutal. Zach Wilson played amazing that day.
He did. He blew it at the end. He fumbled.
Well, yeah, but for him, yes.
Yeah, he got them there. So I'm gonna. Yeah, this it's tough to go to Arrowhead. Loss.
Back home for Buffalo, I have a loss. This is where I think maybe we start to be different a little bit. But I have a loss at home for Buffalo.
So do I. Yeah.
Yeah, loss in Buffalo.
Loss at LA. This is when it all slips away in my schedule.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'll just be up front. I have them going on a 4-game losing streak going into the bye. So, yeah.
So I had a loss in LA last night. I'm flipping this to a win to replace the Chiefs game because of what I said before, like the
Chargers being weird. Yeah.
Baltimore week before on Monday night, New England the week after, and the Chargers are the Chargers.
All right, at Miami, I have a loss. Zach, you said you have a loss, but this is a game that they probably need to win if they want to have a good season.
This is one of those cliches. I believe they can win in Miami when I see it. Like I just don't believe it. I don't believe it can happen. I don't think
Paul, give us some optimism here.
Geno's perfect passer rating again.
There you go. Win. There he is.
There we go. We needed that one. I think the Broncos are going to be really good. Loss.
Yeah, I lost to Broncos. Yeah.
I actually don't think the Broncos are going to be super good, and it frustrates me because I wish the Jets were playing a really good team out of the bye so that they could have a reasonable excuse for losing, because they just never win out of the bye. And so they're not going to win. They never win out of the bye. Loss.
All right. Out west, Arizona. Again, I have them beating the Cardinals.
I do too. I don't think that's going to be like an easy win necessarily, but because the Cardinals, if you look last year, like the Bears won every close game. The Cardinals lost every game and it was close. I don't know that Michael Flohr is going to be the difference maker, though. So I go win on that one for the Jets.
I think this is a surprising loss.
Yeah, see, I was talking myself into it there almost. But I don't know. Gardner Minshew might be their quarterback at that point for all we know. Or Carson Beck. So
Mike LaFleur revenge game.
Yeah, there's a few of those revenge games this year. Mm-hmm.
I tried to talk myself into them beating the Patriots at home in week 16. I don't know how I feel about the Patriots this year. Cause last year, obviously year. Took that leap, but it seems like that wasn't fully like a lot of things went right. Then you have like, how is this Vrabel disaster going to impact the team? Like who knows? Like maybe it doesn't at all. And he's just that respected that it doesn't matter, but it could, but I have them losing.
I mean, we're about to find out if he's as good of a coach as I thought he was before. But it just feels like they're going to have one of the most ultimate Super Bowl hangovers we've ever seen. So I have the Jets winning this one. Like, I feel like things are maybe not going great for them at this point of the year. And the Jets make the Boston radio host lose their minds.
Your lips to God's ears, Zach. So if anybody's writing this down, they just lost 4 out of 5. For me. So I have structured this for maximum chaos, and you'll see why over the next 3 games. This is a win.
Win. So you guys both have a win there. All right. Vikings at home. I have a loss.
It seems like Paul's going to have them beating the Vikings stuff. Based on his thoughts on Kyler. So
Kevin O'Connell has already been fired by this point. The Vikings are in maximum disarray. This is a
win. If that happens, then you're going to have Jets fans calling for him to be their next coach. Like, instantly. I know. So.
All right. And then there's no way they win in Buffalo, but maybe Paul.
I mean, I would say the only, if you think the Bills are going to run away with the division, which they very well might, then they would be resting everybody. But
I feel like they'd still be playing for home field.
They still lost to Trubisky, though. So I do have loss. So I have them at 6-11, but I did consider a win here, I would say.
I don't think that this is a meaningless Bills game. I think they are playing their starters, and I think the Jets win anyway and finish the season on a 3-game winning streak. So we have that 4 or 5 losses. Everybody's losing their minds, and then the Jets finish hot, win 3 in a row. Everybody's mad about draft.
Aaron Glenn saved.
But
You have 9-8, right, Paul?
They finished 9-8, exactly. And so they're on the borderline of the playoffs. I think the win in Buffalo is part of the reason I'm feeling this way is like they've been getting clowned by Buffalo for a while now, and this team feels like they have a lot of attitude, and they lost to Buffalo earlier in the season, and I think that Tavondre Sweat, etc., do not put up with Deion Dawkins the same way that Michael Clemens did and everybody else. I don't think they continue to get clowned by this team. I think there's a readjustment there. You guys know how I feel about Josh Allen. Guy can't win a big game, and I think this is a big game.
New coaching staff.
Wait, so how many wins do you have them with?
9-8.
Oh, 9. Wow. Okay.
Potential playoff.
So we're back.
It's May. We're having fun.
We're back in order. During the draft, I feel like you were all fired up about Klubnik and Sadiq and stuff, and fans were thinking you're maybe being too negative, but now you swung back to make us look bad. So
yeah, I mean, look, it's I think that they're gonna be punchier than people are giving them credit for. And I think you're starting to see that nationally a little bit. Now it's May, so I think that by the time summer and September rolls around, we'll be back to like the Jets or the Jets. But I think right now, at least because of the draft, they're like kind of darlings nationally a little bit, and they're starting to be that like that team that everybody likes every year. I think it happened with the Raiders last year with Pete Carroll, and the Raiders sucked anyway. So it doesn't mean anything. I'm not saying it means anything, but I do think that they're going to be a little bit more squirrely than people are giving them credit for.
I have 5-12, which I said I've been positive this year. I just decided I'm sick of thinking positive and going the other way. So surprise me, guys. Surprise me this time. And Zach, you said 6-11.
6-11. Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. Could, you know, as we get to the start of the season, we do our predictions, I might change my mind. But based on what I see in training camp, I don't know if the bye week and how long they go with like these road stretches, like it just has me concerned about their ability to get through all of that. And it's not like this is a team with great depth, I would say. So like if they start having injury issues, like what, even if it's Geno and you have to play Klubnik before the bye, or if Garrett Wilson goes down, or, and by the way, maybe we should talk about this at the end. I don't know. Do you have any other categories, Tim?
That is it. So
the Jets just signed Tim Patrick, I guess two days ago now.
Yeah, 2 days ago.
For like a little above the veteran salary benefits, like $1.5 million. So he'll be on this team. Solid depth, fourth receiver guy. But I got, it's not like, to my point I was just making, like if Garrett goes down, like it's good to have Tim Patrick in the room, but I don't know that that's like you're still feeling great about losing Garrett. So which, you know, if you lose your number one receiver, you're not going to feel good no matter what, obviously. And they're probably in better position with A.D. Mitchell and Omar Cooper than they have been. But yeah, I mean, he's got to be one of the ultimate, like he was almost a Jet like 5 different times, and then he finally became a Jet. Like he's one of the rare guys to come off of Joe's almost Jets list, I would say. He's like an honorary member. Like last year, I was convinced they were signing him. I think they wanted to. Went to the Jaguars, didn't do much, but just great locker room guy, 6'5", can still make some plays. You feel better about him at wide receiver 4. Like if you just think about, and I know you guys talked about this on Badlands, like just think about where their receiver room was going into training camp last year and going into the season, where your number 2 receiver was some combination of Alan Lazard, Josh Reynolds, and Tyler Johnson. And none of those guys are on an NFL team right now. So like that just tells you, like Arian Smith, they were hoping could be like their number 2 receiver because he looked good in training camp. So like we're in a much better place where Arian Smith is probably gonna have to fight to even be on the roster. I think he probably makes it for special teams. But like you don't have to even play him on offense other than you have to do a goal ball at the end of the half or whatever. So you feel really good about the wide receiver room in a way that I haven't in a few years, I would say.
Taylor Delgado says, just real quick, sorry, Paul. Delgado says, the real prediction here is what will be the most Jetsiest thing that happens this year. And to that, I just want to say, if we could predict that, it wouldn't be Jetsy.
That's
enough.
Very true. It's going to be something we can't even comprehend. Yes.
That's such a good way to put it. That's Bailey's, so right.
Bailey Zappe, five game starter for the Jets in 2026.
It's going to be like some scandal that's like just so outrageous that you can't even believe it. Look, Tim Patrick, he's a functioning pair of hands. That's what it is. It's 3 years too late, as is tradition with the Jets, a la Derek Mason, Curtis Conway, Ed Reed, like all there's the Jets have done this forever. Since before I was born with Art Monk, they did this with in the 80s. Yep. Like it's 3 years too late. It's a player that we've all wanted for a while, but hey, it's a functioning pair of hands. And so, yeah, let's figure out the best way to use it. I think to go back to like the general schedule thoughts, I just think that this is going to be a back and forth thing that I don't think that they dig the hole this year is my takeaway. Like I might shift around where the wins and losses are, but I think this is very much going to be like a win loss, or like maybe they'll go on a two game run here, two game run there. But I think that they don't get up to their eyeballs in water this year. Hopefully. Sorry.
No, but and somebody said in the comment, they'll win enough games that Aaron Glenn will be back in 2027. And that's how the season would have to go, right? You just got to avoid that slope, that just brutal four-game losing streak where the media gets out of control and it's just the vibes are so bad. If you can just go back and forth, I feel like then people stay engaged.
Yeah. Momentum is real.
And honestly, it is kind of dumb that we mentally process things this way, like the collective we, but like it's better for them if they close the season on a four-game winning streak than if they start on one because, you know, it's what's fresh on your mind. What's fresh on our mind is how bad those last five games were. Like he had a good stretch right before that. They started 0-7. Obviously, they were competitive in those seven games for the most part. The 0-5 was just absolutely disgusting. And so, like,
what do you think Woody cares more about? A start and, to get everybody off his back?
It's a good question. It's like the noise is going to get, if they start 0-5, 0-4, like it's going to be loud. And Woody hears it. I don't think he's going to fire him that early. Like I don't even think he'd fire him in season. That he never did that before Saleh. Like that was just something he never did. So that's why that came as such a shocker. So I guess we have to prepare for anything, as I should have learned over my, you know, now my fifth season on this beat. Like expect anything to be possible. But I think it's more likely that he can save himself at the end of the season than that he'll cost himself his job at the beginning, is what I would say.
I agree with that part of what you said. It's more likely that he can save himself than cost himself, but I will disagree that I think the front is more important to Woody. Like I think Woody will be loyal as long as he doesn't flip that switch. Once he flips that switch, you're in trouble with Woody. And so like you have to prevent him from going to that place by just hanging around in the middle. Like it's the longer you can hang around with Woody, the more grace you can give yourself in the off season to talk through your potential plan and all that stuff. Because if you put yourself at a point in the middle of the season where he flips that switch, then he starts walking into the locker room telling Mike White that he effing sucks. Like you can't let him get to that place. So you got to like keep him kind of like, so I think the start is more important.
Dan Botter just made the point I was kind of about to make. If there are people in the stands in November and December, I think Woody is happy because how many times have we ended the season with empty crowds where they're chanting, sell the team. Like it's happened every year I've covered this team pretty much. Like even that 2022 year where they fell apart. I mean, maybe it was a little better. It was so long ago, I can't remember, but because they were mathematically still in it for a while. But like that Jaguars game was still a full crowd, I guess. That weird ass Thursday night game with Strevler.
That home game, though, week 16 versus the Patriots. Like that would be rough if suddenly it's like 60%.
If it's all Patriots fans. Yeah. So that's where you get into trouble with owners in general, but especially Woody, who cares about the perception and the sales and things like that. So that's where I'm at with the end of the season. Like the fact that I couldn't say it was like a 100% chance he was safe at the end of last season was because it was so bad at the end of last season. Like I still was pretty confident he was coming back, but I had to say it was a non-zero chance he wasn't, because you know Woody hears what people say. Woody wasn't going to every game at the end of the season, which is pretty rare for him. So maybe it was better that he wasn't in the room for some of those games, but it's going to be a fascinating conversation because, as we discussed, like you have a decent sized portion of this fan base that wants them to lose this year. And so like them winning seven games, eight games, missing the playoffs, like there's going to be a portion of the fan base that is pissed off that happened. Whereas it'll absolutely save Aaron Glenn if he gets that way. And so you're going to have a portion of the fan base that doesn't believe in Aaron Glenn. And also you're like, well, you costed us the quarterback. And you're going to have the other half who are like feeling a little better about the direction of the team. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see which side Woody goes on. I would think he'll he'll believe in Glenn better if they win seven or eight games. And I think he believes in him now, to be fair, but you know, there's a lot of pressure on Aaron Glenn. Like, it, I wrote this in my template thing, like the whole lead I had was that, like, the way last season went put a huge target on his back. They go 3-14. They're an absolute mess. He embarrasses himself on multiple occasions. And then he fires half his staff, takes over play calling. So, like, he's going down with the ship, as we've been saying. So if they start 0-4 and the defense is bad, it's all going to be about him. And in theory, as some people have said, like, you have a coach in the building now who is a head coach for 7-8 years total with the Colts and Panthers and Frank Reich. So, like you could see the scenario where they turn it over to Frank Reich. I don't think that's going to happen. I just think, like, he is setting himself up to, like, he believes in what he's doing, which is why he hires someone like Frank Reich and he takes over play calling, and he believes he's going to get this team back on track. But what does that look like? Like, if they're 0-4 and it's competitive and the defense is showing signs of progress and they're getting a couple picks, you can feel a little better going into that easier stretch. But if the defense is getting destroyed, like, Aaron Glenn is, his seat's going to get very, very warm. So
let me ask you this, Zach, based on your feel for Woody in the situation, which of these two things do you think is true? Do you think that Glenn and Muji have sold him on the 3-year plan and they would have to do something colossally bad to blow that this year and get fired? And maybe you don't have to group him with Muji there, but, like, I'll keep it on Glenn specifically. So is he bought into this plan with the draft picks next year, and you need to let me see this all the way through before you make a decision, and you'd have to do something horrible to blow that? Or do you think he's going into the season thinking about, like, I need X to happen in order to keep him?
So
certain number of wins, playoff appearance,
whatever. What I would say is it's both yes and no to the first part of that, I would say. So, like, I think he does buy into their vision. I think he does believe in the idea of, like, this is a multi-year plan. But, like, Woody changes his opinion on a whim sometimes. So that's, like, why it's hard to answer with him. To his credit, he has, I know everybody points to, like, the wink situation and the way the play calling thing played out, and, you know, they're both sides are saying different things, but ultimately everything I've heard is that he stayed out of it all of last year. And he allowed them to, you know, make the sauce trade and all those things they did where it was kind of going to guarantee they were going to lose a lot. So he was letting them hang themselves, so to speak. But as we've seen in his history, he doesn't do that for very long if you're really, really bad and everybody's making fun of you and all that stuff. So if he keeps with what he showed last year, like, I think he is committed to, like, this 3-year vision or whatever it is. But if they're just absolutely a disaster and Aaron Glenn is a big reason for it and he's embarrassing himself again, like, I think his opinion about the vision is going to change. I personally am of the belief that Muji is going to be safe because I think he's gotten enough positive PR, and I do think he's done a good job. As we've said, all that matters ultimately is, like, he's done a good job in theory, but, like, if it doesn't amount to anything on the field, like, it's hard to praise him completely. But I do believe Muji will ultimately be safe unless, as you're saying, it's a complete tire fire. Like, the worst case scenario is possible. Like, I know your prediction is the best case scenario, I would say.
Yeah.
Below Tim's is the worst case. Like, the worst case scenario is they're the worst team in the NFL by a long shot.
Yeah. I think if my prediction of 5-12, I think Glenn keeps his job. I don't think that's
depending bad. depending on the context, I would say. Yeah. Like if they're a mess at the end. But yeah, so didn't really answer your question directly, Paul, but it's because it's like Woody's a complicated man. So
yeah,
it's hard to say. Yeah.
And to Tim's point, I think style points are gonna matter. Like, if you're 5-12, but you're hitting people and it's like, hey, bunch of close games.
You're pushing the Chiefs till the end of the fourth quarter, you know, almost beat the Chargers on the road, like, things like that. Like, you're okay with it. It's moral victory season. Like, that's what this is. It's fans are going to hate it because it's going to be like a weekly convo when we do these recaps, but, like, moral victories are going to matter this year more than ever, maybe. So
someday we'll get real ones.
They're coming
someday.
9 of them this year, according to Paul.
Yeah.
It's our shining light here. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Anything else before we wrap up?
I don't think so. Yeah. They're going to have OTAs in like a week or two, and I'm sure we'll do our next pod coming out of that.
After
we'll
that,
have some actual football to watch. So,
and not Zach actually, stats, yeah. Zach quarterback stats from OTAs.
That's what matters.
I can't wait. All right, thanks everybody for joining us on Flight Plan. You know, tell us in the comments what you think the schedule is going to turn out to be for the Jets. 5-12, 6-11, 9-8. Let's see. We'll talk to you later.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.